Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You will dream it.
Yo, they want to know.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And Peter Cook has been lying about his fiance's age.
But when I saw this like headline, I was like, oh, she's older.
She was Rebel Wilsoning. Yeah, she's younger.
Us Weekly says, Peter Cook's college student fiance, Alba Janku, is younger than he originally claimed, which is insane. If you don't remember who Peter Cook is Christie Brinkley's ex-husband, who
and the father of Sailor Brinkley Cook,
and the ex-stepfather to Alexis Ray Joel. Christie Brinkley was married to Billy Joel.
That's no like how to talk he's about even Alexis relevant. Ray Joel.
But apparently, Peter Cook has a thing for the younger woman, and It was reported that she was 21, but now it's being re-reported that she's only actually 20.
Page Six, who has been following Peter Cook's like sort of creepy behavior for several years. Creepy Peter Cook has allegedly been lying about his new fiance's age. Sources say she's actually just 20, younger than his 21-year-old daughter, Sailor Brinkley Cook. This, I think, explains why he's been doing it, because he's like, I can't be dating someone younger than my daughter, but oops, he is, and is engaged to her.
I mean, somebody at these tabloids hates Peter Cook.
Still at the age of consent, whatever. Don't mean to like age shame, but he made all this, he like had to actively like make up lies about this. Like
maybe
he was covering
he didn't
his
know
ass.
How old
it
she
says
was.
A few weeks ago, Cook swore to Page Six through his rep that the bride to be was 21, despite our doubts. He even went as far as to claim a social media post of her 18th birthday celebrations at her elite
what?
British high school, posted in 2017, carried the wrong date. The post has since been deleted. So Page Six was like, if she's 21, why did she graduate this year? And he was like, oh, that's the wrong date.
What the fuck? So now, because I think he was trying to avoid this headline, which is from us's Twitter, Peter Cook's fiance is younger than his daughter. Now the story
now
is
happening.
Like way more salacious than it was before, which was sort of salacious, but couldn't be written out as succinctly as it now is being written out. And this just, after watching that this documentary that I'll tell you about, this makes me feel like Peter Cook, somebody has it out for him. Not that this is like not bad. It's just that somebody is really digging in their heels on this.
Well, I feel like the actual worry, he's been telling everyone that they met when she was 19 and a half. First of all, if you're dating an adult, half year shouldn't matter.
Half year.
What is she?
Half year.
What
half
is she,
year.
An infant?
It's
right.
Not,
so,
yeah, when you're over the age of 15, no more half years.
No
16.
More half year. So He's like, I met when she was 19 and a half.
In
is
a half.
That a lie? You know, like, did he actually, did they actually meet when she was under 18? I feel like maybe
because
they didn't.
Because then when it goes to
really
18 and a half, then it's like, oh, but was it 18 and a half or was it 18 or was it, what was it?
If you're having to worry about half years over the person you're dating and like whether or not they lied about when they graduated from high school, like just back out of the situation. This is going to be very complicated for you.
I mean, there's so many reasons, but yes, that is one of them. Yeah.
Anyway, they're soulmates, but they're soulmates. According to them, according to the couple, let's let them speak for themselves. They're soulmates. They're soulmates.
I mean, yeah. Is it his fault that his soulmate is 19 and a half when they first met? Sorry. I hate it. This is like the worst. This is the worst like conversation. I hate it.
So what was the documentary?
The documentary that I was watching, which is so... Can someone stop beeping outside my window? No, you can't stop?
It's Peter Cook. Like, he's like, stop talking about my girlfriend.
She's 18 and a half. Okay. My God.
When's the last time you used a half year? I cannot.
No, you use it when you're 9 years old. Can you remember? It's like, it's my half birthday. I'm 18 and a half. It's like, no, okay. So the documentary that I was watching last night, which was fucking great, was, isn't that the greatest name, but I get it.
Let's
Scandalous, The Untold Story of the National Enquirer. Have you heard of this documentary? Pass me right by. It's Magnolia
Like,
Films.
Didn't we just get screener links for it? Yeah, I was the reason I heard of it is because I just saw a screener link for it. Okay.
I mean, I'm a big doc head. I feel like a lot of the documentaries I missed in theaters, I have to watch them either when they go on streaming or I track them down if I've heard about them. They win an award.
It's hard to find.
They're hard to find. So we got this great email full of great documentaries from Magnolia. Shout out. Thank you. And thank you. And I watched this National Enquirer doc. It was fucking fantastic. I knew a lot of it, but I didn't know the order of everything. And it's just incredible watching this news, because they interview so many of the people that wrote for the National Enquirer back when it was like breaking news, because there was part of it that was like, yes, UFOs and all that bullshit, but they broke serious news. They broke all the JonBenet Ramsey stuff. They did all the OJ stuff. They put millions of dollars in reporting and breaking really kind of like important news that no one else kind of wanted dug up. They went after. And then as soon as 9/11 happened and the anthrax attack, people got freaked out and stopped buying National Enquirer, and they kind of got twisted on themselves because they were always this quote unquote patriotic brand. But then the powers that be kind of came for them, and then all the catch and kill stuff started happening. And Donald Trump used his kind of friendship with the National Enquirer against them. It was it's a crazy documentary, and I knew some of it, but I didn't really know the exact order of everything. You should definitely watch it.
Watch it today.
It's just like, it'll change the way that you view kind of the way the National Enquirer's influence, because a lot of these people are like, we were doing, you know, serious journalism for a good amount of time until David Pecker took over and was like already in bed with Donald Trump. And also like the paper's influence had already fallen, because I didn't remember that they had that anthrax attack at their.
No, me either.
At their headquarters, and apparently that cut distribution because people thought they were going to get anthrax from copies of National Enquirer. That's crazy.
And then it never went away. Well, I mean, what is the comparison? No. The Tylenol story.
Yes, and the other thing was that even though nobody was really reading it, like their readership dropped like by a ton, they still were making a ton of money off ads because of the placement at the supermarket. So they were like this billboard. They were serving as this like billboard, even though nobody was actually opening up the inside page. So them doing all this like pro-Trump, anti-Hillary stuff through David Pecker was a big thing. And do you know that they also like, they were paid essentially to like bury, they were paid off to bury a ton of Arnold Schwarzenegger shit when he was running for governor?
No.
So he would not have been maybe elected to governor if they hadn't been paid internally to
He seems
suppress.
Like one of those guys who's filled with untold creepy stories.
Oh, yeah. People who work at the Enquirer were like, we'd been getting stories about him for years. Years. Mm-hmm. They were all bundled up in like a little box and thrown out into the trash. You know,
well,
and like
not in the trash. Not in the trash. In his safe.
Right.
In his safe. Big safe.
It was just
a great
documentary. I don't know if I would have like watched it. It felt almost like something that you could skip over as kind of one of those like low budget, not as comprehensive documentaries, but
it's good.
Yeah. It really talks a lot about what we kind of talk about.
I'll watch it today.
Whatever. So that was good.
You're listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, concerns at 619 Who Them. Today we have a lot of comments. I added a few after you.
I see you did, but some of these I'm like not excited to hear. Can't wait.
The final two are specifically like, you know, we have to close the thread on something. Okay. First comment.
I cried at work today for the first time, and the first thing I thought of was Jen Gotch. Thank you, I guess. Crunch, crunch.
Crunch, crunch. I'm sorry you cried at work, caller.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
That sucks. Crying at work is bad.
It's not fun or empowering.
No. Thanks, Jen Gotch.
I know.
It's awful the way these people just sort of infect your brain when you hear about them once.
It's our fault.
Anytime any of you cry at work in the future, not that I ever want you to, but when you do, you'll think of Jen Gotch.
You're going to be like, this is sucks. This is not fun at all. Okay.
Okay, next call. This is representative of maybe 100 calls. No, not 100.
Really?
Many,
I only
many
heard like a few.
People just kept Don calling about this.
I get it. I just play the fucking call.
Niall Horan is Irish.
That's just the shortest one. There are so many of them, including Irish people, including British people, also people whose accents I can't place and don't want to even guess because then I'll get calls about how I got the accent wrong.
Okay, like I understand the sensitivities between Ireland and the UK and I respect both of you. I studied abroad in Dublin, so I just want to say that means nothing. But my point is,
like,
is that
us
not knowing
I studied abroad in Dublin.
Whether a celebrity is Irish or British is the same as us not knowing whether a celebrity is from New Zealand or Australia. We're just not going to remember these things. Niall Horan, I'm going to forget every time what his face looks like, what his voice sounds like, what his eyes, what color his eyes are, where he's from. We thought Ed Sheeran was Irish for the longest time. That is not a slam against Ireland or the UK.
From now on, if I'm not sure, I'm calling someone from the British Isles.
Yeah.
From the British Isles.
I just don't want to offend anyone from the fine place of Ireland or the UK. And I know that there's issues right now going on. But I
studied abroad in Dublin.
But to be mad at us over not remembering what Niall Horan, like that is like, it's one thing if it was actually somebody important who was Irish, like Bono. What if someone's like, he's not Irish? No, he is. I know he is. Okay, I know he is.
No, I've been at the Dublin airport. There are Bono photos.
Right.
Big photos of Gabriel Byrne. Big photos of Bono.
We will not forget that Bono is Irish. Niall Horan, we were doing some sort of radio thing about One Direction and we forgot all their names. It was honestly wild to watch. All the names slipped out of my brain.
It was bad.
I was like, Louis, Larry.
We got there.
Tommy, Brendan.
We got there. Also, I like Guinness. I drink a lot of Guinness.
No, that's, you're making my study abroad thing sound worse
that's why
than it is. Shut up.
I supported the Irish economy for one full semester.
Yeah, I know, true. I know. I went to the Once premiere. Isn't that crazy?
Wait, the movie or the play?
The movie in Ireland before it came out. I went to the premiere.
You went to the premiere once?
Yeah, because
and
there's 12.
And you never told me that?
Yeah, the 12 people live in
with
Ireland.
Marketa
I somehow
Ingolva
got invited to the premiere.
Whatever?
What?
With Marketa Ingolva?
Yeah, they played at the premiere. And I remember being like, this movie's pretty good, actually. Oh, my God.
Marketa Ingolva and Glenn Hansard. You know what movie doesn't hold up? Once.
I know. But the music is still good.
The music is good, but I dare you to watch that movie in 2019. No, and you'll be like, excuse us for giving this movie a pass? No, thank you.
Is it like problematic?
It's like, it's really not, it's like shades of problematic, but that's not really the issue. It's just like so fucking boring. And I was like, I saw this movie twice in theaters and was like,
you
I
did?
Love it. Yeah,
wow,
I loved
Bob.
It. And then I watched it again, whatever, maybe 4 years after it came out, 2011, 2012. And I was like, yes, I'm watching Once again. I love it. It's so sweet. And halfway through, I was like, get me out of here. Get me out of Once.
When we studied abroad, we all had internships. That was like part of the program. And like one girl had an internship at the movie production company that made Once. And so they were like desperate to fill the seats of the Once premiere. So they were like, please come to the Once premiere. And I was like, I don't care. What am I doing? I know nothing. I don't do anything. Like, I don't know what to do. Who knows? And I went and I was like, whoa, this is a good movie.
Yeah. I would call Falling Slowly one of the best original songs of the new century. Like the best original song winners.
And did you know that in the musical Once, the guy that plays the guy, the Glenn Hansard guy, that's the guy that is marrying Jenna Dewan, formerly Tatum.
Glenn Hansard is not marrying Jenna
Dewan. No, the guy who plays Glenn Hansard in the musical Once, he originated the role on Broadway, is marrying
Jenna Dewan. Oh, the guy who's
Jenna
playing
Dewan.
Him in the musical.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say.
Okay, that's...
That's just a fun fact for you that I connected.
I think that might be the least fun fact I've ever heard in my whole life.
No.
The guy who's playing Glenn Hansard in the musical version of Once is now going to marry Jenna Dewan.
The guy who formerly played Tatum. He played the guy. He's not currently
He doesn't even currently play the guy.
The guy who played the guy is marrying Jenna Dewan. I think his name is Steve.
You know, the only way that I could you could convince me to see Once on Broadway is if it starred Jessie J and Channing Tatum. They could do that.
But I'm just saying it's not even on Broadway anymore. Once could star Meghan Markle and I wouldn't see it on Broadway. I'm sorry. Why would it? But I don't know, but it could.
Okay, next call. Why would it? Why would it?
Hello, hello. Stone as a unit of measurement of weight is also kind of an international WHO. It's pretty much exclusive to the UK and is kind of used in Ireland, but Ireland also, which where I'm from, we also kind of use kilos. A stone is 14 pounds and a pound is 2.2 kilograms. Hope that clears things up. Good form.
A stone is 14 pounds? Wow, I thought it was like 1.5 pound. Like, I thought it was very, like, almost the same.
But I think what's interesting is the stone uses pounds, not kilos. You know what
right.
I mean?
You would think
as a unit, it's a number of pounds, not a number of kilos. That's what sort of made me think.
Well, now that this is a metric system podcast, we have to go by the metric system.
It's so weird.
Okay, wait. So... again, not to bring her back into this, but if Adele lost how many stone? Three, they said? One?
If she lost three.
How many stone?
Hold on. Adele what did they lost misreport? What? Stone. Let's look. Hold on.
I don't care.
Adele is said to have dropped a whopping three stone. So she, three she stone? Dropped 42 pounds.
That's so many pounds.
42 pounds.
Okay. Wow, that's crazy because whenever I see stone.
But it doesn't matter how many stone Adele dropped. Don't be all gaspy shocked.
No, I just, when I see in tabloids stone, I think like it's like 2 pounds. Like
me
I don't,
too.
Think
I don't think much about.
So I'm like,
stone.
Oh, you know, like why would they report that Adele dropped like 8 pounds? That's ridiculous. But like now I'm my eyes are open again. Don't care. Do not
now you're
care
like,
about Adele.
Adele lost three stone.
No, I know, but I don't. Again, I need to stress. I don't care how much stone Adele lost, and I don't even care whether that's true or not. I'm just talking about seeing stone.
Now
and that's
you
the last
know
time
what
that
it
I
means.
Saw it in tabloids. Whoa, that's a lot of 14 pounds is a stone. Thank you.
14
thank you.
Pounds is a stone.
Thank you.
We actually got several calls about what a stone is. So thank
that's
you.
That's incredible.
Thank you, our listeners from the British
and sorry
Isles.
Sorry again about Niall Horan. I really, really am sorry.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. I was just listening to the Tuesday episode and you were talking about Tala. Alamuddin, who is Amal Clooney's sister, and there was some confusion around whether or not she was going to jail. She actually is in jail. She's serving a 3-week sentence and then was also ordered to pay a fine and is going to have a suspended license or be barred from driving after her release. So she is actually in jail. Singapore is hardcore like that. Yeah, women don't belong in balloons. Crunch, crunch.
Women don't belong on cobblestone streets. I want to interview Tala Alamuddin when she's out of jail.
I don't.
I'm going to reach out
I
to her
not.
People. Her.
That's dark. I don't
I'll
want to.
I'll just send
to.
Her a DM. I
no,
want to talk
thank
about,
you.
I want to talk about her memory of the cobblestone street and loves moment. I don't want to talk
no,
about her drunk driving.
Oh, no,
that's dark.
I don't.
I want to talk about her almost falling.
I don't
Did
want
she
talk
do
about
it?
Any of it.
You don't?
I don't know, but she's confirmation she's in jail. As we thought, I don't know why we were like wavering about her.
One of the articles we read was like, she's going to go to prison. It was like, no, she's in jail, not prison. Minor differences, sort of like Britain and Ireland, but she was in.
Bobby!
She's in jail.
Don't get us in trouble again.
No.
We'll never get to go there. Okay. You wish show.
Okay, listen to this.
Hey, Who Weekly, just wanted to let you know that Mike Posner recovered from his rattlesnake bite and did complete his walk across America on October 18th, 2019. So congratulations to him. Crunch, crunch, got a lotta. Bye.
Got a lotta.
Got a lotta. Crunch, crunch, got a lotta.
Got a lotta. We knew this.
I feel like we needed to, you know.
We needed the ending to the story.
We needed to put a bow on this.
Mike Posner, who got bit by a snake and had to stop his walk across the country, which we still don't really know why he did or how. And then he got back on his feet and finished the fucking walk. He was almost there, to be honest. So, like, he had to finish that thing.
He was in Colorado when he got bit by the snake.
This is an inspiring story.
He's the boy who lived.
I mean, I don't want to take away from his achievement, but he didn't, like, do it for charity or anything. He just did it for himself and to be inspiring.
Yeah. Well, okay. I was looking at this story, which is on the Detroit News for some reason, but that's where I ended up. Midway through his walk, so 2,000 miles into his walk,
he was like,
he started doing charity on a GoFundMe, and he raised like $51,000 for charity.
Cool.
Which is cool. The other thing is, as we suspected, he turned this into music. He released a mixtape after he finished his walk.
Called Illinois by Sufjan Stevens.
Called Keep Going.
He's going to do all 50 states and just start where Sufjan left off.
But good job, Mike Posner. He got bit by a snake and he kept going. Just keep going. Thelma.
He got bit by a snake in Colorado.
Okay, then listen. Let's not get caught. What are you talking about? Let's keep going. What do you mean? Go. You sure? Yeah. Hit it.
Oh my God, Lindsay, did you just call Ryan Johnson Brit guy? I am dying, and here's why I'm dying. Ryan Johnson is Karina's husband. You just had her on the show. Oh my God, that was just so funny. Women do not belong in balloons. Bye.
We know that.
We know that Karina's husband is Ryan Johnson. Please. We're not idiots. But so many people called and they were like, did you not know? We knew.
But Bobby, a lot of people also called and they were like, how dare you call him Brick Guy? But Bobby knows this, that like Brick is like one of my favorite movies.
Lindsay's obsessed with Brick. I think we've talked about this on the podcast, how much Lindsay loves Brick. It's probably in your top five favorite movies.
To me, like it's in the top 10 now. I mean, it slid because I got older. It was like number 2 or 1 when I was like slightly younger and I've broadened my horizons, not in a bad way. I just mean like whatever.
Yeah,
you see
yeah.
more movies. My point is that like Brick is like tops for me, and so like to me, I love Rian Johnson, always have, and I have to say I'm not a big Star Wars person, so when he went in that direction I was kind of like, I'm gonna wait for you to come through the other side for me. Like I'm excited for Knives Out because that's
Knives
like
out, yeah.
the Rian Johnson that I like a little bit more than the Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. But yes, we know it's Karina's husband. We just didn't want to like, that was not a topic. We went to talk about her
topic.
Work.
We were talking about
not
Karina.
Not her husband's
not
work.
What? You think women's value is measured by their husband's success? Excuse me. Wrong podcast. Okay. Yeah. Wrong podcast.
Yeah.
yeah.
no, yeah. it was not something that was going to come up in the conversation. And I think the reason why it came up after was because of whatever. Maybe it didn't. Maybe it came up separately.
Brick came up because we were talking about directors completely separate from the Karina conversation.
Who's them's the director?
Well, it wasn't even who's in them's the directors. We were talking about, you know what? I don't remember what we talked about on the last episode.
But
I don't remember what we talked about at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, okay.
Rian Johnson is Karina's husband.
Yeah.
Both of them are who's. It's
fine. This is not hidden information, I think. I think this is pretty solid information. And we probably shouldn't talk about it anymore because that's it.
Just like, it just really sticks in my craw when people call and think we don't know something.
Brick guy, we often don't know something, so relax, because they can call, because we often know nothing. All right. People are like, you don't know this. It's like, accurate, we didn't know that.
A really funny call that I'm not going to play it, but it's so funny and very representative of some of the wildest calls we get. That the call that I sent you where the woman is like, hey, Lindsay and Bobby, like, what's up? Hi. First of all, Lindsay, Jews, Nazis. And she spends 35 to 40 seconds talking about the history of Nazis, Jews, concentration camps, experimentation, the sort of like Goebbels thing. And then like how some of the scientists moved to the United States. 45 seconds. And then she goes, anyway, what's up with Jennifer Jason Leigh? I need you two to talk about Jennifer Jason Leigh. And I was like, oh my God.
I know. How quickly we shift.
Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner, and dancing, courtesy of Lala. Did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I use Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy, especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So speaking of awards being purchased, do you think The Voice has purchased the Sexiest Man Alive Award? Because that's the only explanation I can think of for Blake Shelton. And John Legend was just the Sexiest Man Alive this year. Adam Levine was the Sexiest Man Alive. Just a thought. I know they're not who's, but just something I was thinking about. Crunch, crunch.
Blake Shelton was Sexiest Man in 2017. Adam Levine was Sexiest Man in 2013, which was a little longer ago.
Mm-hmm. And those men aren't who's, but Sexiest Man Alive is a who. Fucking big ass yes. Who, Sexiest Man Alive.
This because is a very interesting call.
Yeah.
It's over the past 6 years, so there's not like, it's not like it's, you know, three in a row. We got voice people.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a stretch, but Blake and John, I do find interesting.
I think people, though, is looking for these double whammy people to promote. So like Blake, they had Gwen to help promote like that whole thing. And now with John, they have Chrissy to promote. And also this is like
with Adam, they had
Guy, 2019 wife guy vibe. Uh-huh. Like, ooh, the Sexiest Man Alive is a wife guy. Like we love, he's cute and hot or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that is kind of where we are in culture right now too.
Presumably, apparently, no problematic bone in John Legend's body, which is a big plus.
Yeah, but I just, it's part of me is like accusing of the voice of using people is like, it's almost like the people is using the voice too. It's almost even, if not, if anything, the voice is more popular than people's Sexiest Man Alive at this point. So like, it's kind of weird to be like, oh, they're in it. I think it's just, they're looking for the same type of celebrity. Like that's more of it. It's more of like a confluence. Oh my God, what am I talking? Like convergence versus a like a kind of underhanded thing. Although you found a connection. I was seeing if they were owned by the same people, but they're not.
Yeah. So yeah, Voices NBC, which is Comcast. People Magazine is owned by Meredith, which used to be owned by Time Inc., but now it's all owned by Meredith. Not Gray, just the company Meredith. And Time Inc. and People are, you know, under the same umbrella. So I found this interesting connection, and honestly, it could mean nothing, but this, so I was searching within LinkedIn for people who have worked at both NBC Universal and across Meredith properties, and there's a little overlap. I found a couple people who were like, you know, very junior, and
that's not crazy. They're both.
That's not crazy. You know. But this woman, high up, this was the interesting thing. So this woman, her name is Karen Kovacs, and she's the EVP of Client Partnerships at NBC Universal, okay? This is a woman who is like decades into her career. She is the EVP of Client Partnerships. Where did she work directly before this? Time and People.
Really?
For over a decade, she worked across the Time Inc. brands, including 8 years at People.
And now
and what did she
voice?
Do there? She was fully the publisher at People.
Oh,
so
wow.
So I
wait, and now she's at The Voice?
And now she's at
NBC.
She's the EVP of client partnerships across NBC Universal. So she's
and
in the marketing.
She used to like, be a she used to be the publisher of People magazine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising that people have worked at both. But you're right. Like that is their look. Yeah.
So
I mean,
so what I'm saying is, it wouldn't surprise me that she has a relationship to this magazine and would want to promote this magazine's success and like maybe use whatever contact she has at People. You know, like I don't think there's anything nefarious here, but that connection is pretty alarm belly, you know?
Yeah. No, I just think part of me is kind of like it's not as devious as
no.
as it could be. And the other thing is I'm interested about John Legend because I feel like this thing where he's bland in some ways, but he's not bland in like political, like he's pretty politically outspoken, actually very politically outspoken. And so is Chrissy Teigen. So it's interesting to me that they went with him because of that, like that kind of reason.
Especially
like,
considering Blake Shelton was like the person they chose immediately after Trump, you know, like right. Trump so was elected, like, they chose Blake Shelton.
They it's like they tried one side of it. They were like, we'll do mm-hmm. Blake now because it's like that's the right time to like be like America right now. And then with that backlash, they had to like speak to the backlash. Idris Elba was last year, right? And then mm-hmm. then now they're fully shifting out like on like as Trump is like more hated universal or
a little bit out the door.
Yeah, I'm like I'm wondering it's like it's actually like kind of controversial that they chose John Legend at this point.
Yeah, because even Idris is like isn't necessarily politically outspoken in the way that maybe, or at least as, you know, capital O online as Chrissy and John are.
I know. They
so
like don't shut
whatever,
up. That's like
whatever
brand.
Idris believes, he's not out here tweeting it every day.
And look at, you know, number one, probably Trump voter, Barbara Corcoran. Sorry, love her too. But like this woman definitely, whatever. She tweeted, the sexiest man alive. You gotta be kidding me. No doubt John Legend is a phenomenal musician. But I'll tell you what makes a guy sexy. A fabulous chiseled face, eyes that communicate, I want you now. And a body that can't stop looking at. Oh my God, I hate this tweet. Hashtag
it's
revolt.
Disgusting. It's one of the worst tweets I've ever seen.
Wait, I'm sorry. I'll tell you what makes a guy sexy. A fabulously chiseled face, eyes that communicate, I want you now.
Now, all caps.
And a body that you can't stop looking at. Barbara Corcoran's like, who is she talking about?
I don't know. It's
put her in jail for this tweet is what I'm saying. It's like, honestly, the horniest on Maine thing I've ever seen in my life.
Horniest,
and
she's too horny on Maine.
She's too horny on Maine.
But
it's like
but it's also a Barbara joke on Shark Tank. It's like anytime Barbara is on an episode, which she should be on every episode, but she's not, which is annoying. She's one of the people they switch in and out. But when someone like a Shark Tank contestant comes in and they have, you know, their big performance at the beginning, if there's like a shirtless dude or like some guys who are remotely like hunky sexy, it always cuts to Barbara and she's like, ooh, I like this. Like Barbara is the horny one on Shark Tank, and that is like long established.
Yes.
But it's just sort of weird to see this in tweet form. Like it's one thing to see her like say literally va 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 voom when she sees a hunk, and this is like,
I mean, this is the woman
is
who
disgusting.
Staged a funeral for her own birthday. She's got some she's got the urge. She's there.
She wants
it. But it's just funny to have her hashtag revote. Like, this is what she's coming out against. Barb, like, this is not. It's funny. It's funny. I guess it's funny. It's funny to take a whatever. Tweeting and talking about people's sexiest man is like, we should. It's our right as humans, you know?
Which is, again, like you said, one of the main reasons I think that John Legend was such a draw because. What? We all know people aren't necessarily reading magazines anymore. And
no.
I'm sure that even though People isn't as culturally relevant as it used to be in its heyday, like People's Sexiest Man Alive
it's
is like
their for them.
It's their tentpole. It's their yeah. It's their one thing. They can count on everyone on the internet talking about People's Sexiest Man. They could talk about Hoda and Jenna talking about it on Today's Show. You know, they know they're going to get pressed for this.
People's Sexiest People issue. Don't forget, they changed it. No,
well,
I mean,
did you see they do cutest babies in this now too, which is like
no,
get out of here. That's illegal.
The whole thing is insane. They do the like.
But then
reality
did you see the David Harbour thing? Oh, we have to talk about the David.
No,
Harbour
I don't want
thing
to talk about David
it.
Harbour anymore. No, we only are on the first question. We have to move on.
Hello. So I have two questions, both related. First of all, I was just wondering if you could talk a bit about Kiernan Shipka's birthday party, which really infiltrated my Instagram from like a lot of interesting different angles, and just like a really weird collection of Who's in attendance. I'd love to like get a breakdown of like who they were and like how they're all connected, because I am extremely confused and have been thinking about this a lot. Secondly, these glossy black and white photo booths. When did they get this popular? Like, I know we've been doing photo booths for a while, but the glossy black and white, you know, like most recently Justin and Haley's wedding and then this party, and they're really becoming a them. Okay, crunch, crunch.
Let's do the photo booth question first, because it's the easiest. The Kardashians made them famous.
Yeah. It's like one company they do. It's like a photo booth, and it's kind of like meant to like just fucking filter the hell out of your face, retouch you automatically, and the contrast they use and whatever. We talked about this a while ago. This was like, but not that you should remember, but I remember.
Racked found it. The story was like 3 years ago when the Kardashians were doing it all the time.
But now everyone does it.
They're called, I was like, I remember this was on Racked. Oh, Mirmir. Mirmir. That's the company. If you want a glam photo booth at your next event, Mirmir. Mirmir.
Photo booth companies and people do the same thing now. Like, they kind of got ripped off, so you can find a probably less expensive version of that. But this is the photo booth that you see everywhere now. The black and white one.
And the answer is the Kardashians made it famous. Is it people doing like real time retouching, or is it like AI retouching? Is it automatic like Instagram filter retouching?
I think it's AI filter retouching. Like, it's
too smooth. It's so weird. I hate them.
It's a filter. It's a computer.
So, but yes, Kieran and Shipka turned 20. She had a birthday party. All the Who's came.
Every fucking Who. Well, she's connected to
children,
a lot of Who's.
And then John Hamm.
Well, okay. The John Hamm thing, I don't even think that was as weird as people thought it was. Like, people were like, whoa, that's weird. It's like, it's not weird. She turned 20. Like, they're friends. I think January Jones was also invited. Like, Mad Men people were invited. John Hamm does.
He looks disheveled.
Yeah.
He looks a little disheveled and weird.
Yeah. It's more the photo of them was like, oh, okay. Like,
the
John
photo's sort of yikesy. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's not a yikesy. I'm not yikes about that. Do you know what's more yikesy?
What?
BJ Novak was there.
Oh, BJ Novak. Imagine I feel like I have to whisper. Imagine someone yikesier than BJ Novak.
I'm just saying, why was BJ? That's to me like the John Hamm connection. He's older than her, sure, but like that's a connection. Like, that's not weird. They worked together for like a million years,
you
know?
He played her dad for a long time. Also, she's like a weirdo child star. Like, her friends are her coworkers, you know? Like,
she's 20 going on 40, you know? I mean, she's 100 years old now at this point. But the point is that's not that weird to me. What's weird is BJ Novak. And then also I kind of was like, BJ Novak and Kieran and Shipka, like, how long have they been friends? And I found a tweet from 2014 when she was
15.
5 years ago. 15. She said, happy birthday to the super cool BJ Novak. And he responded, I'm cool because I know you. It's like, yeah, okay. Tell yourself that me when I hang out with a 24-year-old. The other interesting thing about this is that Kieran Shipka has like some funny like nepotism-y, not her nepotism-y, but who she's associated with. She used to be dating Charlie Oldman, who is Gary Oldman's son.
We've talked about
weird.
Charlie Oldman.
We did. But now she's dating Christian Coppola, who is apparently related to the Coppola family, but like is a cousin. Because all these Coppolas
they're all
now
cousins.
Like,
the Coppolas are all cousins.
They're all cousins and like nephews and nieces. Like, they're not directly on the line.
Right, because it's like Jason Schwartzman, Nicolas Cage. They're not Coppolas, but they're like cousins.
So like, is this guy Christian Coppola like benefiting from nepotism? Probably vaguely, but not direct. Not like as kind of obvious as like Sofia Coppola, maybe. But
yeah, but I mean the last name really helps. I mean, Nicolas Cage's last name actually is Coppola, isn't it? And then he changed it because he was like, I don't want it to seem like nepotism. As the generations went on, they were like, no, I'm keeping the last name because nepotism rules. You know?
Yeah, yeah, no, and it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Truly doesn't matter. And also, it's just so funny when you have somebody whose last name is Coppola who lives in Hollywood. They're definitely related. Like, it's not
this.
There's
this
no
guy,
stray Coppolas anymore. Yeah.
Christian Coppola is a distant relative. He's like he's not even in the main like nuclear line of
That's
Coppolas.
What I was saying. I was reading about him and I was like, he is last name he's using, but like the rest, he's really not that closely connected to anyone.
Mm-hmm. But he does do film stuff. So he's like, I aspire to be like my distant relatives.
Right.
whatever. So what else? Who else was at this party?
I mean, it was just like such, it was all the randoms from her Netflix show, David Dobrik, that like Vine guy.
Well, the Vine guy.
It was
just
like, yeah. It was very like young Hollywood, but like a lot of people I didn't know and their friends. And then fucking BJ Novak. It was so weird. Like a very weird, specific to a former child star array of people. Like you just pick up the weirdest people along the way when you're a child star.
I like January Jones's Instagram because she didn't go. She was like, I'm too old for this. But she did say, I'm missing this one's birthday party tonight. Sad face. I'm so proud of you, Kieran and Shipka, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, yeah, you're missing this birthday party because you're like conscious.
I know.
You're an adult. You respect yourself.
I know. She's like, text John, like, maybe don't go to the birthday party.
And he's like, already on my way. He's like, already in an Uber.
I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm in the bathroom. We're taking a selfie now. What a FaceTime. And she's like, no.
I know. That's
the BJ's gift. Waiting like, for us in the hall. Yeah. Oh,
it's okay. Like John Hamm and January Jones take Kieran and Shipka out for dinner challenge. You know, like do something separate. Take her little doms for like a, you know, piece of lasagna. Like just this is not, you know, do something. Whatever. You get it.
Kieran, invite us to our birthday party. We're like the right age.
Me responding would love to come, but it would be really hypocritical to what I talked about on my podcast.
Missing this one's birthday party. Hope it's great. Post a photo of Kieran and Shipka on my grid.
Oh my God, next year you should post a picture of Kieran and Shipka and wrote missing this one's birthday party. Just so you know you weren't invited.
I'm going to start wishing somebody's happy birthday on Instagram by saying, oh, sad to be missing this one's birthday this year.
And it's just
hope
a picture
it's filled
of
with love and light.
You should.
And people would be like, wow, is Bobby friends with Zooey Deschanel? Is Bobby friends with like,
why is Zooey Deschanel? Why is it Zooey Deschanel?
I don't know. Who else am I thinking of?
Young Hollywood. You need more young Hollywood. Like,
is Bobby friends with KJ Apa?
Oh, weird. I don't know Bobby was friends with Lily Reinhart.
That's strange. I've never seen a photo of Bobby and Sky Jackson, but he wished her happy birthday and said he was sorry to be missing her birthday party.
Bobby's friends with Pink's kids? I didn't know that. I didn't know that Bobby was hanging out with Pink's kids. That's the one.
Pink's
this one.
Kids.
It's like Pink's daughter. Okay. Can
But I refer to her as, I'm sorry to be missing Pink's daughter's birthday party. I don't know the name.
love to this one.
Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow. That's so nice to hear because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah. You're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not from Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/who.
Hi, Who Weekly. This is Joan Summers from Jezebel, and I was listening to your last week's episode when I heard the shout-out from Bobby, and I just want to say thank you for the compliment on my Vroom Vroom Get a Load of Aunt Becky's Crime Car headline, but I'm mostly inspired to call today because, as you both probably know, it is end of year. Everyone is doing their big roundups of the various things that happened this decade, the whole entire last year, yada, 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 all that content generation bullshit. So there's been something that's been bugging me for a really long time this year, and I figured you guys are probably the only people that can have an answer for this. So back in May, kind of at the height of Priyanka Chopra and Nick Jonas's wedding shenanigans and all the press about their love and how happy they were, I was doing a post and saw that OK Magazine issued a retraction on a story from one of their covers that said they had 152 days to be married and then they were getting a divorce. And allegedly, as the story goes, Priyanka Chopra demanded that OK print a retraction on the story, and it had to be on the very first page of OK. So my question is probably mostly for Bobby. Have you ever seen a celebrity actually issue a retraction to a tabloid? And two, is Priyanka Chopra demanding that OK Magazine issue a retraction about a story concerning her marriage a who or a them tendency? I still think that Priyanka Chopra is a them. I know that that's not really the territory of your podcast, but that feels like extremely hooey behavior. You don't have, you know, say, Jennifer Aniston calling into OK Magazine and saying, please stop talking about my secret love child with Brad Pitt. So anyways, love the show. Huge fan. Longtime listener. First time caller. And then I guess, what am I supposed to say here? Oh, yeah. Women don't belong in balloons.
To answer your question, I've seen it before. And the most iconic one, and it's the one that comes up like when you search for things like this, it's when they said that Katy Perry was pregnant and that she was planning to get married, and I guess Katy got mad at it and they fully issued a retraction. It was in print and it was online, and it was like, we were wrong about this. It's rare. It's super rare.
They're taking the chances, though. It's like they'll do the thing. Well, they'll post something. They'd rather retract and think that know that no one's going to give a shit about the retraction, mm-hmm. than not do it in the first place, because that sells tabloids. Like, it's very interesting to me. It's like they're willing to take the chance on a lot of this stuff, mm-hmm. and because it's like people only see it the first time around, right? I mean,
yeah.
And also saying that Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra are going to divorce is just confirming what a lot of people kind of thought, or that were like snarkily thinking when they got married. It wasn't this thing where it was like this shocking thing. It was almost confirmation bias, weirdly, so that it would go down easier in a weird way.
Yes, but to answer, is that a who or them tendency? I think it's a who tendency, because I think it's absolutely a thirsty move, because you want headlines for both, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You're glad they wrote about you to begin with.
Right.
And you want to seem more legitimate by saying, no, I'm above this. But it's like, no, you're not above this, because if you were actually above this, you probably wouldn't have said anything.
Think about all
like
of
how
the,
many
like,
times has
tabloid...
OK said that Jennifer Aniston is pregnant and or married someone, and Jennifer
or that
Aniston's
Angelina
like
Jolie
who?
Is right. You know, whatever, like, right. And they just stop caring. They're like, we have bigger fish to fry, in a way.
Exactly.
Or at this
Priyanka's like, I don't have any
stuff.
Bigger fish to fry. Like, I'm out of big fish. I only have little fish. That's it.
I mean, and also you have someone who is covered, who's giving a lot of stuff to the tabloids too. So she knows that she has leverage that Jen Anderson and Angelina Jolie don't, because they're not out here like pandering to the tabloids, because they don't really want to be in them at all, let alone for good or for bad things.
Do we need to talk more about Priyanka Chopra and Nick Jonas? It's funny how quickly they went away. I mean, everything goes away quickly in this day and age, but it's funny that like we cared about them so passionately until...
It proves the only thing that we cared about them were the fact that they were getting married. Like, I even watched the fucking Nick Jonas documentary that I thought was pretty... The Jonas Brothers documentary that was pretty good, but after the album came and went, now they're, I guess, on tour or working on a different album, and she's not in anything. She's not promoting anything. Like, it's true. It's like, we kind of moved on.
Mm-hmm. I was checking for headlines about them that were like sort of recent, and the only thing I saw was that they recently reportedly spent $20 million on a 20,000 square foot property in Los Angeles.
All right.
$20 million.
Sure.
7 bedrooms, 11 bathrooms, high ceilings, and ample outdoor space. This is funny. Meanwhile, Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner spent $14.1 million for 15,000 square feet. It's like, wow, they're one-upping each other. Yikes.
Meanwhile, Kevin Jonas secured 10 square feet next to the 7-Eleven in Long Beach. I don't know. Doesn't he live on Staten Island? Sorry.
I thought he lived on Long Island.
I thought he lived in Staten Island. They're from
who knows?
Staten Island, whatever.
Related news, Danielle Jonas just rented a 800 square foot pied-à-terre in Chinatown.
Oh, God.
She's like, sometimes you just need to get away. She just goes there and eats like vegan meals. She's like, I don't actually like pork. I have to secretly eat vegan meals at my Chinatown flat that I keep furnished with like
what
an IKEA table.
What a fantasy you're creating for her.
Hey, babe, what's this like $3,300 I'm seeing you spend every month? bags, makeup, sweetie. He's like, oh, women and their makeup. It's like her place to cry. Okay.
Okay, wow. Dark. Okay.
Okay. Next call. I love this.
Hey guys, I saw on the internet today circulating around that a guy with the Insta user Austin G. Wilson posted a very cozy photo of him and Demi Lovato with the caption, my love. And, like, who the heck is he? I have no idea. Can you guys help? Thanks. Kind of trench.
So who is this person? That's it.
August G. Wilson, not the playwright. That's August Wilson. This is Austin Wilson.
This is Austin, yeah. Not the playwright August Wilson.
Which I also was like, August Wilson? No. But he's like,
Demi Lovato's dating August Wilson? Good for her.
That would be amazing. Demi Lovato is once again dating someone. He might be dating someone.
Dead.
Not. Demi Lovato was like in the tabloid, like doing press, like quote unquote dating some bachelor idiot, but not really dating him. Let's be real. That was like silly. I don't know what I care. I don't know what I like less. Demi Lovato fake dating a bachelor person or real dating this guy who is like, I'm not quite sure. Whatever. We're all very possessive over Demi Lovato and her. And
we're
her,
concerned.
Her general health.
We want the best for her.
Literally all of her, his Instagram messages or like comments are like, take care of Demi. Like, Demi fans. But she's dating this guy. He's definitely a model. Every photo that he is in is like on a shoot for X, on a shoot for Y. And his claim to fame slash there's no claim to fame. But his dad was a
nepotism. Z-boy.
Yeah, but not. But this isn't the nepotism that we.
Yeah, but it's just like he's
gets you anywhere. he's from California.
His parents are successful LA people. Like that's it. Like
yeah, and his dad is like a cool skateboarder from. Remember Dog Boys, the
Dogtown and Z Boys. Yeah,
the movie. Yeah, that he's one of those guys, and this guy's just he's just a cool guy.
He's clearly like when you look into him,
he's clearly a sober guy who she met via all these sober
this
people that
crew
she's
of people that she's friends with, right? Like it's and just she, a guy that's in her circle, her like sober circle is what it looks like. Because I mean, is point, he sober? Yeah. Is that out? Like
I'm pretty sure he's got.
I think he's one of her like sobriety buddies, which is good. That she's hanging out with people who can especially like understand her situation. But it's like when you look into them, the interesting thing about it is that there's so little known about him that like the five things to know about Austin Wilson's are especially bad. All of them are bad.
Every five thing is just worse than the last. I mean, page six is probably the worst. 17's is slightly better and Heavy's is a little better than that. But page six is like, can you read the five things? It's honestly.
Page six is, yeah. Oh, and they have six.
He's a male. Like it's literally like he has hair. It's the worst.
Number one, he works as a model. Okay, cool, great.
Okay, we got that.
Number
too.
Two, he has several tattoos. A thing. Both of these things you can look by one look at an Instagram. He has several tattoos. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number three, he changes his hairstyle often. Again, you just look at an Instagram photo. It's pink in this one. Who can believe? Four, again, based exclusively on Instagram, he cares about his parents because he said Happy Mother's Day. They've done this before. They've done this before. Number five, he really likes taking selfies. Again, exclusively because of Instagram. Number six, he loves Lovato. Wilson has publicly professed his deep feelings for the pop singer. The same day Lovato posted a pic with him, Wilson shared a photo writing, my love, as the caption. The feeling is clearly mutual.
Slams head against wall.
Okay. Lovato liked the post that declared their love and also wrote her own message saying, my brackets heart emoji. Looks like things are getting serious for the new pair.
So, just the worst.
My heart.
So compare that to 17's list, which is, one, he's a model. Two, they prob met through a mutual friend. Okay.
Prob.
Which, to be fair, we also, those are the two things that we got. Okay, the only two things that we have are the two things at the top of this list. So, fine. Three, he loves tattoos. Again, the same thing as he has tattoos. Four, his dad was a pro skater. We got
that's an interesting thing. Okay.
Five, he seems to be really into Demi, which is the weirdest way to write anything.
He called her my love. Like, take a page from page six's thing. He literally calls her my love. Just say he's in love with Demi.
Or just don't say, that's not one of the things. Okay, and then we have heavies, which is even a little bit more kind of specific. We have, he's modeled and has for brands, like he's modeled for Civil
Machine.
Here
are the brands he's
modeled for.
Those
who sin, that's more research than most would do. Heavy's pretty good at these. Two
is their bread and butter, yeah.
Like Demi, he was close friends with Thomas Trissell, a model who died from an overdose at age 31. So that's another very specific thing. Three, his dad, George Wilson, is a famous former skateboarder turned designer. So yeah, like if you search his dad's name now, he makes jeans, like quality jeans. And
he makes good jeans.
Recently.
But this is, again, Heavy taking the extra step and doing like one more Google.
Yeah. And then Wilson is a proud uncle to niece Tallulah Valentine, which is an insane thing to write as a bullet because it's like, okay.
Like Tallulah Valentine? Oh, is Tallulah Valentine the child of famous people? No. No,
he
it's
has
just
a niece.
He has a niece named Tallulah Valentine.
Niece. Five, Wilson is super close with his mom. Okay, cool. Love that. There's photos of him with his mom on his Instagram. And that's it. So it kind of trails off at the end there, I got to say. Heavy was really trying to get in those last two. They didn't really have enough for the last two.
The most interesting thing about Demi, and I would say like the funniest thing about like talking about Demi's personal life, which can be filled with so much darkness, is that the Demi Lovato stay away from her meme is how everyone feels about Demi Lovato. You know,
yeah, no, truly.
Like
yeah,
the moment Demi Lovato is with
someone,
she's
her.
Right. She's the one who said it, but we still feel Didi Lovato stay away from her every time we see someone with Demi Lovato.
Also, like, the Demi Lovato fan community, the Lovatics, is truly, like, a wild place to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I was there for 4 minutes doing a little research on this, and I came across Demi, like, she opened her own secret meme page and was, like, responding, and then the fans found out that it was her doing the memes, then she got mad and stopped doing them. I don't know. Now she's, like, on Will and Grace. I mean, Demi is just, like, Demi-ing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Lovato, Poot Lovato. Can you play the Jeopardy clip here, please?
Poot, yeah. Wait, let's play it right now.
Okay.
You
have to kind of describe it. Well,
so
actually,
I can
like
describe it.
Very visual.
So this is a Jeopardy clip posted by Weekend 3 Warrior on Twitter, and Weekend 3 Warrior.
Okay, sure.
And it's the 400.
Can you read his caption?
The caption is, Demi really can't catch a break. I'm deceased. And so here's the $400 question popping up.
$400 question. This is like low.
In 2013, this young actress and singer had a bestseller with Staying Strong, a book of affirmations. Lindsay?
Who is Selena Gomez?
No. Who is Demi Lovato?
And they showed a photo of her. It was like, it was
Demi Lovato looking happier than you've ever seen her, smiling, face in the camera. Like,
yes.
You look at that and you're like, that is undeniably Demi Lovato. That is Demi Lovato, Demi Lovato, Demi Lovato,
it's
Demi Lovato.
Clearly Demetria Lovato. We know Demetria. We know what she looks like. It's Demi Lovato. $400.
Selena Gomez?
No.
Wait, to be fair, the comes from Weekend Warrior himself. I'm assuming it's he, but that is my favorite part of the video.
No.
Is whoever's filming it just spitting out their water when she says Selena.
God, we talk about Demetria Lovato so much. Do you remember, pop quiz, who was Get a Job, Stay Away for her? Who was Get a Job, Stay Away from her directed at? Can you remember? The answer is really easy if you think about it.
Oh my God.
Do you know?
It wasn't like her sister. It was like another famous person.
No. Well, famous to certain people, but not.
No, I don't even
famous.
Remember.
Stalker Sarah.
Oh, my God. Stalker
it was at
Sarah.
Stalker Sarah.
But who was Stalker Sarah posing with in the photo that she said, get a job, stay away from her?
She was hanging out with Demi's sister, Madison De La Garza.
Right. Okay. So I knew. Remember
and,
I said her
and
sister?
So Demi said, yeah. And Demi said, get a job, stay away from her. So her is the sister. But get a job is directed at Stalker Sarah.
Selena Gomez?
No.
And I think, are we done? Yeah, we're done. We're not going to play Who or Them today. We're going to finish this episode now. Thank you for listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show. Call in 619 Who Them if you have any questions, comments, and concerns. What else is there to say? Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Buy tickets to our New Jersey show because our Brooklyn show is sold out at whoweekly.us. And support us on patreon.com/whoweekly if you want to get extra episodes and a weekly newsletter. We would love it. Also, we'll see you in, I don't know, a few days. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye. Have a great weekend.
Bye.